Rosie TV.
How can a person, such as myself, for example, read a verse so many times and such a verse that we've talked about for years and years and years, and then see something new in that verse? It seems amazing. It seems incredible. It's a tribute to the wondrous, miraculous nature of the Word of God. But now that I'm thinking about it, it's also due to my son Gabe, who sent me a voice text about this verse. Yes, it's coming back to me. Gabe tipped me off on this, and so I'm going to bring it to you today. Welcome to another week. I got some great shows for you planned this week. I do take requests. I am your spiritual DJ. And some of you wanted to hear a follow-up on the armor of God about how we put it on, how we take it up. And I am going to do that this week. So thank you for asking. Love your requests. Also, I promised you I was going to talk about the two different ways Paul deals with sin. Only two times he delivers people up to Satan. Other times he doesn't. Why does he do the one thing here but not there? This is going to really illuminate for you some of the problems we have with Paul mentioning a bunch of sins, even though we know we're free from the condemnation of sin and we're not to be sin-oriented. Why does Paul mention them in what context? This is going to really comfort you about that. And I have a new fascination with the temple veil being rent. This is such an overlooked event in the scriptures. At the death of Christ, the temple veil being ripped into divinely. And the question is, how did that affect each evangel? How did that affect the Israel gospel, the evangel of the circumcision? And what effect did it have on a gospel that didn't exist yet? That is the gospel of the grace of God sent by Paul to the nations. Gonna look into that for sure. And but you know how it goes. If anything comes in the way, we will cover that also. Oh, I also want to look at the big Christian movement. After Trump's assassination attempt, there has been an acceleration of this Christianized political body, Trump being the head of it, because everybody is looking at the assassination attempt, the near miss, the incredible near miss, as divine intervention, as of course it was. Of course it was. And this was God's way of consolidating support of the religious right. And this is part and parcel of building the beast. And I have people supplying me with specific examples of how this thing is becoming more and more and more Christianized, which I've been saying for 20 years that is what was going to happen, and we see it happening. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, Galatians chapter 3. Here's the verse, chapter 3, verse 3. But I'm going to build up to it by starting with verse 1, because I love context, and so do you. O foolish Galatians, this is Paul, of course, being appalled upon hearing the news that the circumcisionists, those law keepers, I got to remind you, these circumcisionists, the law keepers in Israel, these were believers in Jesus Christ, but they still were heralding law. And we have those in our near vicinity, they're believers in Jesus Christ, but they're still heralding law. And of course, Paul goes ballistic. Oh, foolish Galatians. I love the J.B. Phillips paraphrase here. It says, dear idiots of Galatia. Isn't that beautiful? That's poetic. And that's probably more the tenor of how Paul meant this. Dear idiots of Galatia. That was the J.B. Phillips. Now we go with the concordant literal. Who bewitches you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was graphically crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you get the Spirit by works of law or by the hearing of faith? Here's verse 3. So foolish are you. J.B. Phillips again, thank you, says, are you so idiotic? undertaking in spirit, are you now being completed in flesh? Undertaking in spirit, are you now being completed in flesh? And this is the seduction of those who want to introduce law to our calling. But here's the new revelation. This has been sitting there the whole time. Having begun in spirit, are you now being completed in flesh? And the part I've emphasized for years is we can't be completed in flesh. Of course, we can't be completed in flesh. Having started in spirit, will you now be completed in flesh? No. But the corollary is that has been much neglected here is that then how are we completed? Having begun in spirit, are we now completed in flesh? No, we are completed. This is the shock. We are completed in the same way we started, which is in spirit. So at no time does this call, which began in spirit, and we're going to look in detail on how this began in us, how it started, at no time does this call degenerate or even transfer over to a call in spirit to a call of flesh. At no time does flesh come into play as we walk this thing out and are completed in the faith. You see how this is different? You see how we've never really, I haven't, never looked at how this thing is completed then. How is it completed? We know it's not completed in flesh. Oh, it's completed in the same way it started. Now, I want to look at this word undertaking. Undertaking in spirit. Are you now being completed in flesh? This is the Greek word anarkome. And the English elements are in origin. Now, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to look at how we are, how we began this walk, like in our lives, when we came to a realization of the truth. There's a big clue there, but I'm also going to look behind that to an even earlier origin. Undertaking. So I looked at the word undertaking, and I said, well, where else does this word appear? This word in this part of speech only appears one other time, and it is in Philippians 1:6. And here it is. He who undertakes a good work in you will be performing it until the day of Christ Jesus. And we know that Christ was the one who undertook it. What were we doing when we came to a realization of the truth? Nothing. We just realized the truth. There was a move of the Spirit of God came into our heads, energized, just like the Spirit of God energized Abram. The Spirit of God came into him, invigorated him, and suddenly he became able to have children, even though he was 100 years old. How did that happen? What did Abraham do to become invigorated? This was the in origin of Abraham's ability to produce the promised seed. Nothing. What were the disciples doing in the upper room when the Spirit of God blew into that room and appeared as flames of fire over their heads? Nothing. That's how they began. They began, they undertook it by not undertaking it. He who undertakes, Christ, he who undertakes a good work in you will be performing it. So the performing part, I'm tying Philippians 1:6 back into Galatians 1:4, the completion of it. Having begun in spirit, are you now being completed in flesh? So we're now involved in this undertaking. But the undertaking is being performed not by us, but by Christ Jesus. And this will continue, Paul says in Philippians 1:6, also until the day of Christ Jesus. So from the day we realize the grace of God in truth to the day of Jesus Christ when we're snatched away, this thing that started in spirit is completed the same way in spirit. That's the thing. This in spirit, the same way. And I'll say this again, it's so important. At no time during our lives, subsequent to our call, does this call degenerate into a consideration of flesh. And this is what freaked out Paul, and this is what freaks out us anytime somebody tells us that we have to now consider ourselves according to flesh. It's the same argument that you have to be completed in flesh. Paul says, no, that's definitely not the case. So what did I say last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago? What is included in this walking in spirit? It's being disposed, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, being disposed to that which is above, not that on the earth, because that is where the Spirit came from. It came from above. Abraham's power came from above. The Spirit that came upon the disciples in the upper room came from above. And suddenly, they understood everything the Lord Jesus Christ had told them. Abraham, suddenly, he felt a little stirring in the baby-making apparatus. It was instantaneous. I also said, let nothing be worrying you. What were you worrying about the day you were called? Some of you may not even remember the day you were called. That's okay. You don't have to. But there was a day, and I'm going to prove that to you. If not today, I'll prove it tomorrow. Colossians chapter 1. There was a day in which you realized the grace of God in truth. Was whatever you were worrying about that day, did that contribute anything to this miracle of God stirring your mind? Nothing. In fact, you had to drop all worry. I also told you that walking in spirit involved an understanding, Romans 8:1, that there is now therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. I want to go to the first part. I have to go to the first part of Colossians 1 now, because this definitely ties in here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We are thanking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you on hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus. Don't get nervous about that. I know we're saved by the faith of Christ Jesus, but God gives us faith to believe in the faith of Christ Jesus. Paul does talk about your faith, your faith, your faith. Don't ever discount that. Don't ever think, no, I don't have any faith. Yes, you do. You do have faith, but it's a gift, of course. But it is your faith that attaches to the faith of Christ. So Paul, always living in the relative viewpoint, believing in the absolute, but living in the relative, says, we are thanking God on hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints because of the expectation reserved for you in the heavens. Well, I could give a whole talk on that. Reserved, expectation reserved for you in the heavens. You know how great it feels when you walk into a restaurant and it's really crowded, but you have a reservation? It's kind of like this, isn't it? It's kind of like, you go to the front of the line. Excuse me, I have a reservation. Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Zender, we have that right here. There's nothing worse than getting up there. I have a reservation. I'm sorry, we have your name. The reservation. This is a great expectation reserved for you. This is not the snatching away. This is after the snatching away. That's an expectation too, but this expectation, here I go, I'm going off on a whole different topic now, but I'm going to keep it short. This reservation is your place among the celestials. We're going to be snatched away, and you know how all those cartoons, people talk about Peter at the Golden Gate, and Peter's waiting there, and everybody goes, and they have to get through Peter. Well, we're in the body of Christ. We're snatched away, made immortal, and we walk up to the desk, as it were, and Christ is there, and we say, excuse me, I have a reservation. Let's see, Martin's, oh, yes, sir, of course, every one of your names is on the reservation list. I have a reservation. And where is it? In the heavens. You'll never see this phrase, in the heavens, in the circumcision writings. Paul, in the heavens, among the celestials. The circumcision call is heavenly in character, but it's never located in the heavens. This is a fantastic verse, just this part alone. Which you hear before, you hear it before the word of truth of the evangel, which being present with you, according as in the entire world also, is bearing fruit and growing, according as it is among you. I'm in verse 6 now of Colossians chapter 1. From the day on which you hear and realized, to hear and to heed. The day you heard and realized the grace of God in truth, according as you learned it. Oh, it's so unspiritual to learn it. Learn it from who? A guy named Epaphras. According as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who's a faithful dispenser of Christ for us, who makes evident also to us your love in spirit. This Epaphras guy, he had words of aeonian life, and he brought it to the Colossians, and they heard it. And they realize it. That is the day. That is the day. And you don't have to remember this day. You don't have to know this day. If you're in the body of Christ, and you are, there was this day. It just dawned on you. That is undertaking in spirit. That's the undertaking. He who has undertaken, Philippians 1:6, he who undertakes a good work in you will be completing it. So there was an undertaking that happened at that day, on that day, and it was an undertaking of Christ. He who undertakes a good work in you, that's the day you heard the grace of God, heard and realized the grace of God in truth according as you learned it. See, Pentecostals don't like that. They don't like to learn anything. It's no less spiritual. Like, the Pentecostals want to remove the middleman. They want to remove the feet of those bringing an evangel of good. They want these direct revelations from God. They don't want the middleman. Like I said, they think that's walking in spirit. Well, walking in spirit is being taught this truth by someone God sends, right? Happy are the feet of those bringing an evangel of good. So this guy named Epaphras brought it to the Colossians directly from Paul. He got it right. He wrote it down. Paul made sure he had it. Now, let me make sure you have this down pat. Jesus Christ died, right? He died. Okay, you got to tell him that, right? Of course, Paul, yeah. Died for our sins, right? None of this self-righteousness talk. None of this, I have to do this work for my sins. I got that, Paul. I swear I got it. Okay, now. And he was entombed, of course, and he was raised the third day. Of course, Paul, without the resurrection, we got nothing. Okay, go out and take it to him. And that's how they started. That's how they began. And it was completely a work of God, even though God did use Epaphras. Who's going to argue that it was not completely a work of God? Of course it was. I'm going to go on there probably tomorrow, but... Oh! I got... Folks, this is big news. I found out that I have another son out there that I didn't know about. This is a big revelation. I'm going to show you the picture now. Get ready. Hang on to your seats here, folks. But 3, 2, 1. Look at this. I have another offspring I did not know about. Stephen Janowski, otherwise known as Gerudo King. Or is it Gerudo King? I'm sorry, I'm not up on these things, Stephen. He sent me this photo, which I thought was great. He got one of the early copies of Zender on Romans Volume 1. And I was very amused by this. No, he's not actually my son. He's my son in faith, for sure. But I don't know, he looks pretty close there, doesn't it? And when he sent me that photo, he gave me this quote. And this he wrote me a text. And this ties in perfectly with what I'm telling you about today. Listen to this confession of Stephen Janowski. Quote, I'm just in this weird stage of my spiritual development where I'm losing touch with this body of sin. I'm losing touch with this body of sin. And of course, he knows that that is supreme. That is exactly what Paul intends for us to happen. And it is exactly what the Galatians were giving up by being seduced by the circumcisionists. Paul is telling them of this great expectation of this walk in spirit where nothing worries you. There's now therefore no condemnation. And Paul expected them to know that they were to continue in that vein, i.e., can I say it this way? Doing nothing except receiving, except growing in grace and realization and knowledge of the truth. And that's exactly what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to lose touch with this body of sin. You become now preoccupied with things above, not those things on the earth. And our bodies are here on this earth. And as we contemplate the truths of Christ, and as we realize the grace of God, as we listen to this teaching, as God brings this teaching to us through various teachers, we indeed do lose touch with this body of sin. We lose touch with it. Body of sin doesn't like it. Satan definitely doesn't like it. Satan's main goal is to keep you focused on this body of sin. And the Greens from 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago and 4 weeks ago, they were passing on to us the lie of Satan that we must be preoccupied with this body of sin. Janowski's not having it. I'm losing touch with it. That's a beautiful thing. And that is how we continue. That is how we are perfected. Having begun in spirit, Paul says, are you now being completed in flesh? No, we continue the same way we started, by coming to a realization of the truth. And at no time does that ever change. That was the great thing for me. At no time does that ever change in our walk. Romans 6, verse 6, our old humanity was crucified together with him, that the body of sin may be nullified. Now, I read some comment a few days ago. I think somebody was saying that they believed our body of sin was nullified. No, the body of sin is not yet nullified, and that is the vast temptation to become completed in the flesh, because Paul says this body of sin may be nullified. This body of sin will not be nullified. The curse of sin is nullified. The old humanity was crucified, but the old humanity being crucified and this body of sin being nullified are two different things. Paul separates them here. Our old humanity was crucified together with him that the body of sin may be nullified. One is a present truth. The other is a future expectation. And our friend Gerudo King, whatever it is, he's living this out. As he wrote this to me, I don't even know if he was thinking of Romans 6:6. But this body of sin is being nullified. You know how Paul says in 1 Corinthians that the chiefs of this eon are being discarded? They're being discarded. They're not discarded yet, are they? No. No. They reign supreme on the earth while we are heaven's aristocracy in waiting. But these chiefs of the eon, they're being discarded. Likewise. In other words, we're supposed to look at these people flexing their muscles, flexing their authority given to them by other human beings, flexing their advantages, flexing their wealth, flexing their knowledge, what they call knowledge, and we look at them and go, yeah, wow, big deal. We're heaven's aristocracy. We're heaven's aristocracy in waiting. Likewise, our old humanity, that this body of sin, I should say, this body of sin is being nullified. Discarded, chiefs of the eon, nullified body of sin. So why would you pay attention to something that is being nullified? Being nullified. Like the chiefs of the eon, they're still waving their hands out there. They're still saying, boo, boo, trying to scare you. And your body's doing the same thing. This body of sin won't be nullified until the snatching away. Did I say that? Well, if I didn't, I meant to. It will be nullified. And that's the beauty of losing touch with it. And so it's not a bad thing. Nobody should worry about it. I'm not saying Stephen is worried about it. Of course he's not. He's a smart guy. He realizes that this is indeed, as he calls it, spiritual development. Don't feel guilty about it. I'm just losing touch with this body of sin. I don't know. I'm not as concerned about it as I used to be. Some religious people are telling me that I should be very concerned about it. And if I'm not paying attention to it, then they're accusing me of taking sin lightly. At which time I point to the cross and say, I'm taking sin lightly. No, that's what it took to crucify the old humanity. If anybody accuses you of taking sin lightly because you're not working on yourself, point to the cross. Point to the cross. Taking sin lightly, that is what causes me to have joy today and peace as I meditate upon my justification. So I'll say it yet one more time. At no point in this walk of ours, in this completion of what Christ has started, at no time does this ever degenerate or become now a labor. It continues the same way it started. A miracle of spirit while you were just sitting there and boom, the light came on. The light came on. And I'll just close with this real quick. If you want to go even further back, how did this walk begin? We were designated beforehand for the place of a son before we even existed. You could say, and I will say today, that that's when it started. Before the disruption of the world, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, designated beforehand for the place of a son before the disruption of the world, before Adam even came onto the scene. That's our beginning. And we are to be completed in the same way. How are you completed? How is this walk being worked out? Whenever you're tempted to be tied again to this decaying mortal body, you say, I was chosen in Christ before the disruption of the world. That's how it started, and that's how I'm completing it. By just thinking that and knowing that, it will cause this body of sin to disappear more and more and more.